Father's Day weekend, it's the KSRO Good Food Hour. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash, celebrating our 38th year on the air, America's longest running radio food program. Good morning, John Ash.
Good morning. How are you?
From one father to another. Yeah. I hope our kids will remember us tomorrow.
I hope so, too.
Well, if you have not made definitive Father's Day plans for tomorrow, I think this might be something to fill the bill if you're up for it. We have Chef Joe Wolf on the KSRO live line this morning. He and his lovely wife are co-owners of Marla Bakery in Santa Rosa, right there on Davis Street. Showed up about a little over a year ago, and they've really made a great impact in the local dining scene. And Joe and you've come up with a really unusual way to celebrate Father's Day tomorrow. Welcome to the show, Joe.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for having me on.
So what are you doing tomorrow, and how did this idea come about?
The Sunday supper idea or the idea for the dinner?
The dinner tomorrow.
Okay. The dinner tomorrow on Father's Day is going to be a sort of a Sammy's Romanian Steakhouse supper. I, along with my good friend Evan Bloom from Y Sons, will be putting together a meal that is definitely going to be one to remember. But I've got a whole story about it if you want to hear. But you know, it may take a couple of minutes to get through that.
Sure.
We want to hear it.
You have to tell us.
Okay. So also, we'll be having five Sunday suppers in this series, starting with the one tomorrow, but specifically about this one. Way back in 2010, I sent a cold email to pastrami@ysonsdeli.com, met up with Evan Bloom and Leo Beckerman for a lunch at Pal's Takeaway in the Mission. This is a shout out to Jeff Mason, who's just a wonderful guy, and he owned a deli in the Mission many moons ago. So we became fast friends, spending hours talking about Jewish delicatessen and aspirations for San Francisco and of our childhood deli experiences with our respective families, which was lovely. There had already been a couple of Y Sons pop-ups at this juncture, but eventually I came to work for them full-time and helped to open the 24th Street Deli in the Mission a couple of years later. We've all remained very close friends, Leo and Evan and I. And we've always loved the idea of doing a Romanian steakhouse pop-up from our many experiences at Sammy's Romanian Steakhouse located in the Bowery of Manhattan. Items that are just memorable from my experiences at Sammy's include table sides, schmaltz and old-fashioned diner syrup dispensers, and ice block bottles of Absolut. And then there's this guy named Danny Love, who's always on the keys. Plays a synthesizer, has a PA microphone situation, and that's always been nights that have delivered and a hangover to boot. So after 15 years of Evan and I kibitzing about this idea, we're going to make it happen on Father's Day here on June 16th from 5:30 to 8:30 at Marla SR, 208 Davis Street in Santa Rosa. We'll be having Evan, I, and my wife Amy in the kitchen, and with many special guests on location. So there are still about four tickets available, so if people want to act fast, they can get those at marlasr.com to choose the on the top menu bar Sunday Supper Series and buy these tickets for the 16th for Father's Day.
John, questions?
What makes it Romanian? This is a different spelling also, isn't it? Which I guess was the spelling of the original steakhouse in New York, right?
Yeah, that is correct. Romanian-style steak is sort of something Sammy's was inspired to do from heritage and history of a, you know, a long-standing tradition of this sort of meal. I can go over just what is going to be on the menu with y'all, if that's of interest. And that's all going to be inspired by the menu. So,
well, a couple questions. What cut of beef is this grilled Romanian steak?
It's usually a skirt or flap, which is also known as bavette in the fancy world of French dining. But
costs you more.
What?
Costs you more to get a bavette steak. Oh. I'm having the bavette. Oh, that'll be
$69.99. Yeah. So changing the name makes that magic.
Yeah. So does this have anything to do with the country Romania?
Yeah, for sure. It's the dining style, the meat centric menu, you know, the chopped liver. I mean, it's Jewish Romanian in its essence. So
it's funny, the menu we're looking at is fresh tomato juice, assorted lacto-fermented pickles. And this I've never seen done anywhere in Santa Rosa or Sonoma County. Tableside chopped chicken liver with marla challah, toast, and schmaltz. We were talking about tableside preparations, John and I, before the show. And occasionally you would see a Caesar salad prepared tableside. I remember the old Prospect Park in downtown.
Guacamole.
And guacamole done tableside. Yeah. When I was actually a couple of restaurants in San Francisco years ago did Bananas Foster. Mm-hmm. They were a New Orleans restaurant. The House of Prime Rib still does their salad tableside. But how do you get somebody to know how to do a tableside chopped chicken liver, Joe?
So the chopped liver will be pre-made, but there's a bunch of accompaniments, sieved eggs, gribbiness, which is something that is made as a byproduct of schmaltz, which is like onions and chicken skins, which you double fry, radish, and it's all kind of mixed with a couple of spoons in a bowl for people to enjoy.
Nice.
It's a lovely experience and, you know, an unforgettable one.
Then we have roasted chicken broth with kasha, and then house-made, I don't know this word, carnitzel and smoked and cured beef sausage with mustard and marla rye. Are you doing the sausage, or do you have some sausage master coming in for this?
Well, we do have a sausage master that we're doing a conglomeration with, but Ian Marks is one of the oldest friends of Y Sons history. He actually gave us the first location that we got to use a full-service kitchen in, and that was a place called The Beast and the Hare in San Francisco.
And so he's making the sausage for you?
We're making the sausage together, but he's helping with the process.
What is carnitzel, house-made carnitzel?
Well, there's two versions. There's a Romanian version and then a version that comes from Montreal, which we'll be featuring on our meat plate. On the menu, we'll be having both versions. But carnitzel is basically a long, almost a hot dog sausage style that smokes. And it's kind of like a snack stick, snack stick, 100% beef. So it's kind of wrinkly and amazingly tasty.
Wow, there's grilled Romanian style steak, hand cut steak fries, roasted gypsy peppers, health salad. I love it. And warm chocolate babka with coffee, tea, and special wine pairings included. Four tickets left. Go to the Marla website for information about pricing and if they're still available after the show. Well, I could quickly tell us the other events you have planned for the summer, Joe.
Lovely. So on Sunday, July 21st, we're bringing back one that we've done many a time, which is called Consider the Tomato. It's an all-vegetarian Sunday supper that will highlight tomatoes and other favorite summer vegetables. And then on Sunday, August 18th, we'll be welcoming Rosalind Reynolds from Emmy Wines. We already sell her wines on our menu currently, but this will highlight the bounty of summer and all that it has to offer. And then Sunday, September 22nd, our friends Aaron Mitchell and Mandy Check, they're winemakers behind Unturned Stone, will be joining us for a journey through their vineyards and beyond. And then Sunday, October 20th, we'll be alongside Eric Sussman of Eyesider, County Line, and Radio Coteau, doing a whole hog dinner. So that should be a lovely one, too.
Sounds like great events at Barla. right here in downtown Santa Rosa. Go to the website for all the information. Joe, thanks a lot. We hope it's a great event tomorrow.
My pleasure. And again, don't forget about our Fried Chicken Fridays every Friday.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
From 5 to 8. And then end of June, we'll be starting Slushies and Smash Burgers, which will be every Saturday evening at 5 to 8.
You're what? Say that again. What?
Slushy and Smash Burgers, right?
Slushies and Smash Burgers, yeah. A well-themed evening that will be every Saturday moving forward from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m.
Man, sounds like a great summer you've got.
Yeah.
And happy Father's Day.
Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. Happy Father's Day to you. Hope it's an enjoyable one.
Take care. Joe Wolf from Marla. Back after this, if you haven't made your plans yet, if you're not going to attend the Romanian supper tomorrow night, John Ash has put together a Father's Day recipe package that is now online at ksro.com, the Good Food Hour. You can follow along as John takes us through it. That's next.
Starting mornings the right way.
I arrive at the office informed.
Sonoma County's FM News Talk at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and 96.9 in Petaluma. KSRO.
Hi, it's Dennis from the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market at Luther Burbank Center. I'd like to talk a bit about our market. Sure, we have great coffee, crepes, salsa, sausage, fruits, veggies, crafts, and much, much more. But to me, it's what you can't buy that makes the market special, and that's the people. You may have heard me speak with Steve on Saturday mornings on Garden Talk about buying potatoes from Tom or mushrooms from Barbara, forgetting to mention their business names. This is due to the relationships developed with those who grow the food we eat, something you can't get at the big supermarket chains. The vendors are a great resource to help create the perfect meal for you and your family. Bring your kids, grab a bite and something to drink, and shop the farmers market voted the best farmers market in Sonoma County 2 years running in the Press Democrats Readers Poll. We've been doing this for 50 years. We must be doing something right. So come and visit us at the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, Wednesdays and Saturdays, 8:30 to 1.
It's personal, and it's your choice. You've contemplated cosmetic surgery for a long time. Maybe it's cosmetic breast surgery, a reduction, lift, or augmentation. Or maybe you wanted smart lipo body contouring for a long time. Dr. Tom and his caring staff understand your concerns are personal and confidential.
It is personal. We take our time and walk you through the whole process. Our philosophy, you, the patient, are part of the surgical team. That's why we include you in the decision-making process.
How do I get started?
It's easy. Just call our office. Our wonderful surgical liaison will listen to your concerns and arrange for a virtual or in-office consultation.
Dr. Tom, you use local anesthesia for cosmetic surgery?
Yes. Local anesthesia is safe and well-tolerated by our patients. You can actually have breakfast the day of your surgery, and you will appreciate the quicker recovery with less discomfort.
Voted best cosmetic surgeon of Sonoma County 8 years in a row. Call Dr. Tom for a complimentary consultation online at drtomcosmetic.com.
This summer, discover the artistry behind every bottle at Trioni Vineyards and Winery. Here's winemaker John Duckett.
If you're in the area or craving a spur-of-the-moment weekend adventure, swing by the winery any Thursday through Monday for a walk-in tasting. No reservations required.
For a rare behind-the-scenes encounter, mark your calendar for the Trioni Vineyards and Winery Summer Winemaker Series.
Each second Saturday through August, I'll guide you through a barrel demonstration, blending, one of my favorite aspects of winemaking, and an aroma sensory exploration with blind tastings. Three Saturdays, three unique experiences.
Learn more about the Winemaker Series and other events at TrioniWinery.com.
And remember, you're always invited to drop in Thursday through Monday for tastings amid the vines at our iconic old stone building. No reservation required.
Trioni Vineyards and Winery, Geyserville, where Sonoma County sips in the summer. TrioniWinery.com.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Stick around. Coming up in about 10 minutes, Joan Nathan, remarkable cookbook author and bon vivant and cultural attaché a brand new cookbook from Joan called My Life and Recipes, Food, Family, and Memories, celebrating almost 50 years of producing award-winning cookbooks. Father's Day recipes from Chef John Ash. It's up on the KSRO website now. We start with grilled brined shrimp with a grilled corn salsa. Now, even if you can't cook, this is simple, isn't
it? It's so simple. And the secret to it is the brining with the shrimp. It just changes them slightly, but it makes them moist and, you know, they have that snap.
And they don't dry out on the grill?
And they don't dry out, yeah.
So how long does this take? Under an hour or so?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to over brine them,
no.
Man. Okay, pretty simple.
It's 30 minutes.
30 minutes?
Yeah.
Grill them on both sides, place the shrimp on the corn salsa. And also, do you grill the corn on the cob and then take it off the cob?
It's pretty simple.
With some poblanos or an onion olive oil, ground pepper, some fresh lime juice.
The usual stuff.
But I like this. You add a little honey to your salsa.
Yeah.
Nice idea with cilantro and mint. So that's a wonderful
starter. Well, it's to balance the, because we're putting some lime in there. So it's always looking, one of the principles of cooking is balance, is finding. So if you're adding something sweet, then find something tart to kind of balance it.
So that's the lime juice and honey together. And since you're going to be using the grill for that dish, why not do grilled coconut chicken Thai
style?
Yes,
so this menu was one, I think when I wrote it, it was like, well, what would you like for your Father's Day? Well, this was what I want for my Father's Day. So, Steve,
This would be absolutely perfect. So do we also marinate this chicken before grilling it?
Yes.
Okay. So put them in a storage bag
for 4 hours or overnight.
Okay.
And this has chili garlic sauce and cilantro and ginger and all of that and coconut milk.
And some Asian fish sauce, I notice, in a little bit of brown sugar.
Yeah.
So I marinate that a couple times, and then we take it out and throw it on the grill. And make sure
there
you clean and oil your grill very well.
Yeah.
And we're looking, are we using thighs on this, John? Or
you can use breast? Whatever you want.
Okay. What do you like to use?
Thighs are better because they have more fat to them and the texture is better.
Okay. And for heaven's sake, use a thermometer on this, correct? You don't want to overdo this to about 165. And if you don't want to do the grill, you can do this in the oven too.
Yeah.
Either way. Now we get into your treatise, your masterpiece, your master's thesis. Perfect burgers, and you have some caveats, the 6 secrets for a great grilled beef burger. Now, keep these recipes handy because July 4th is just around the corner. The right meat and fat, what do you prefer the ratio to be?
It's the 80-20, so that's a little higher in fat. You can buy 90-10, that is 90 meat, 10% fat, but it doesn't have enough fat, you know, and fat is flavor.
So don't be afraid of that.
Right.
So could you do also maybe an 85-15?
Oh, of course.
Okay.
You can do whatever you
want. But ideally, that's the perfect ratio. And you mix your seasonings in. And I like this. Like pie dough, the more you handle the meat, the tougher your burger.
Yeah.
Okay. I have a tendency to get in there too
much. Well, people, roll them into tight little balls and all that stuff. And it just ends up being tough.
Okay. So be careful with them, like you're rolling out pie dough. And when you make the patties, you do a little thinner in the center. Why is that?
Well, it's because when they cook, and they shrink a little, the center gets denser, gets fatter. So to make sure they're cooked evenly all the way through, we put a little dent in
the
center.
Little thumbprint in there?
Yeah.
Okay. And then you keep them cold.
Yeah.
You don't want to do these at room temperature because you mentioned that the fat starts to melt.
Yes.
So keep them cold. And then pretty high heat. Remember, the hood is your friend. And don't be turning them every minute or two.
No.
A lot of people think they need to flip them.
Well, they're headed toward a smash burger, which I'm which I'm not very fond of.
I'm not either. I didn't want to tell Joe that, but I don't kind of get that whole deal about smash burger.
No.
Give me a regular burger. Yeah. Okay, so there's your burger. And then you have the master recipe, which is on site. And I like that you put a couple teaspoons of Worcestershire.
Yeah, it's magical.
It is magical. And then you have a red wine pan sauce for the burgers, and then some riffs on the classic, like mushroom, blue cheese, green chili, and jack cheese, and then also a section on grinding your own meat. Do you grind your own meat still when you make burgers?
You can. Typically, I go to a butcher who has ground it properly and not ground it too finely. And often what you get at the supermarket is it's too fine, you know. Uh-huh. So you want it to have a little texture and all of that stuff. And you can go to any good butcher and say, you know, can you just grind this a little thicker? Yeah, I want
coarser.
I don't want it as a chili grind, you know, which is something people use for chili, but have it be a little coarser.
Okay, so this is where you want to patronize your local butcher.
Yeah, that's right.
You also have wonderful recipes for a tuna burger with a spicy Southeast Asian sauce, a salmon burger with green goddess dressing.
Yeah.
Isn't that a San Francisco creation, the green goddess dressing?
I think it was a George, it was named after a play that George Arliss did called The Green Goddess. Oh. And it was done at the, which hotel? At the...
The Grand Old Hotels.
And
that's where it came from,
yeah.
The Green Goddess. And then, so you have that Green Goddess dressing. And plus, there's a tomatillo and avocado salsa, which you also include for the black bean veggie burger. That's also in the recipe package.
Yeah.
Now, for a turkey burger, you include a cucumber and yogurt sauce. And then you even have a recipe for soft, squishy burger buns.
Yes. You know, honestly, if you think about the best burger you've ever had in your life, the bun was kind of squishy and soft kind of melted in your hand.
And you don't get that.
No.
It's really hard to find that burger. So do it right. Go to our Chaos Ardo Good Food Hour recipe packet, Father's Day recipes from Chef John Ash, and treat Dad right.
That's right.
Or save it for Father's Day. I mean, for the July 4th, right?
Sure.
Or, you know, Labor Day, Memorial Day.
Anytime during the summer.
Just keep it there. Yeah. Back after this with the wonderful Joan Nathan.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Honey, we need to make reservations for Buckley for our vacation. He loves going to daycare at Paradise Pet Resorts. Let's see if they have room for boarding.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, it makes it so much easier to leave him, knowing they'll take care of him like he's their own.
Paradise Pet Resorts will take great care of your furry family member. You get to go away, and your pet gets a vacation. See for yourself on the webcams. Just download the app and look at all those wagging tails.
Dogs are pack animals who don't do well left alone all day. They need plenty of mental and physical exercise, as well as lots of opportunities to play, sniff, explore, and socialize. Doggy daycare is a practical solution for keeping your dog stimulated, as opposed to chewing, digging, and barking when you're not home.
Pets prefer Paradise. Pet tested, pet approved. Book now for boarding and daycare. Paradise Pet Resorts in Rohnert Park in Santa Rosa. ParadisePetResorts.com.
Hi, I'm Patty Manett, manager of the Healdsburg branch at Exchange Bank. Busy running your small business? Exchange Bank's got you covered. We'll come to you for a personalized meetup to dive into your banking needs. Whether it's a line of credit, a business loan, or top-tier merchant services, your small business success is our priority at Exchange Bank. Contact a local branch today. Learn more at exchangebank.com.
Exchange Bank, member FDIC, equal housing lender. All loans subject to credit approval.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Is your timeshare suffocating you? Are you feeling powerless because you were sold a bad investment that is nothing like you were promised? I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. If you're ready to get rid of that timeshare, I'll send you our timeshare exit information kit free, exposing the timeshare industry scams with all your options for cancellation.
Call 800-653-1188, 800-653-1188, 800-653-1188.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same, but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
In the Kitchen with Chef John Ash and me, Steve Garner, celebrating our 38th year on the air, America's longest-running radio food show. And a return guest we always love talking with her is Joan Nathan. Joan has been writing cookbooks for some, I guess it's 49 years. Mm. So she's really got it down pretty well, I think, at this point. And she has a new one out that may be my favorite of all of her books. It's called Joan Nathan, Food, Family, and Memories, My Life in Recipes. Good morning, Joan. Thanks for joining John and me this morning.
Good morning.
Nice to hear your voice. Are we hearing you from the beautiful East Coast?
You are from the hot Washington, D.C.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's right. There's a heat bubble over you.
There is?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. Your first book was 1975. Did you write it and then they were clamoring for it, all the publishers? It was a bidding war to get that published?
Well, not exactly. I had I submitted it. I wrote it with somebody else, Judith Stacy Goldman. I think that's a good idea for your first book. Anyway, we submitted it to 16 publishers before Little Brown took it.
Wow. Okay, so there was not just a
slam. So what did you do to convince them to take it?
Well, actually, somebody worked for a correspondent for Time magazine felt that what we represented was what Jerusalem was like in those days. It was Jews, Christians, and Muslims. And we tried to depict them as they were, you know, with families. It was probably one of the first cookbooks with real headnotes about who we were writing about. And they loved it. And they took it, and I think we sold about 25,000 copies. So that was pretty good for the first book.
And you were off and running.
And I was off and running. I realized I knew about Jerusalem, but I didn't know about Judaism. So I wanted to write Jewish Holiday Kitchen, a book like that. And I actually met a folklorist, a Yiddish folklorist, at Harvard, who said to me, I will never write a cookbook. If you write one, I'll tell you everything you want to know about the symbolism behind food and Judaism. And I thought, oh, I want to do that. And at the time, I went to see Judith Jones, famous Judith Jones editor. And she wanted me to write an American cookbook. She didn't want me to write a Jewish cookbook. And, you know, I was young, and I didn't know who she was, really. I mean,
would you share with our listeners who she is or was?
Well, Judith Jones, she passed away in 2017, she discovered the Diary of Anne Frank in a discarded waste paper basket at her publisher's office in Paris, and where she was working. And she read it when he went out for lunch, and she said, the American public has to read this book. And then she was also the editor for Julia Child, and realized that mastering the art of French cookery was exactly what the American public needed, and She certainly was right. So she, you know, she became very, very famous in that movie, Julie and Julia. She liked to say she was the bad guy. And, you know, she was my editor for about four of my cookbooks.
Just remarkable. Your book is a look back over the last 50 years of writing cookbooks, the countries you visited, the people you have met, and also the influences that have led you to this marvelous point in your career. Is there a particular dish that defines it, your style of cooking? Is there one that really stands out?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that last night because I like to have a Shabbat dinner. And I always do. Usually I make my own challah, but I didn't last night. Somebody brought it. And it was kind of a potluck meal, which I really like in our busy world. I think it makes cooking a lot more fun to see what other people are going to make. But anyway, and I had my hummus there with preserved lemon, which I always like to make because hummus is so high in protein. It's one of the earliest proteins known to mankind. And I made my version with preserved lemon in it, and then I made it made a roasted carrot bread from Australia that I had when I visited there last year. And then I just made my chicken, which was a roasted chicken, but I put a little bit of za'atar and thyme and rosemary and olive oil and lots of vegetables and onions, and just cut it up and ate it with everything. So those are the kinds of foods I like to do, and I think there's a little bit of a Middle Eastern influence, but I think it's food that's just tasty, good food, and not too fussy.
So the book is It is really a look at your life and people that you met and all of that. There was one little section early in the book in which you talk about your moment with Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, right.
Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was living in Larchmont, New York as a child, and we used to hang out at a bridge. So where kids, you know, they must still hang out at that bridge. On Brookside Drive, I remember that. And somebody sauntered over. His name was Joel Braziller. And his father was had a publishing company in New York. And he said, if you come over to my house at 5 o'clock, you can meet Marilyn Monroe. Well, in 1950, I think it was 52 or 53, she was the most famous woman in the world. And, of course, we all knew who she was. There were about five of us, and I wrote about it in my diary then. I mean, I was, you know, a young kid, but I wrote about who came. So I wanted to write about it because we all remembered that moment when we walked up to her and she signed Love and Kisses Marilyn Monroe on just a simple strip, torn piece of paper that I was the only one who framed with a picture of Marilyn Monroe, my husband. But the best part of it was, you know, when you're writing a memoir, you have your memories, but you have to ask some of the other people because it is your memory that you're talking about, but you're talking about an event. So I was able to find everybody that had been with me that night. And everybody had different memories of Marilyn Monroe. One person that I felt was prettier than Marilyn Monroe, Judy Shubrook. I located her in San Diego, and she said she thought Marilyn was drunk. And then the best one, and then somebody else, Maggie Kammer, who's a retired judge, thought that she was very nice. And I thought she was very beautiful, but I just remembered, you know, her being so nice and signing this for us. But it just made an impression on me. But the best was Joel Braziller, who remembered that she came over with, what's his name, Miller, who was her...
Arthur Miller, yeah.
It was not her husband then. He was they were dating, and Arthur Miller and George Braziller had all grown up together in Brooklyn with another person whose name I forget, who was the poet laureate of Brooklyn. And the three of them came with their wives or their girlfriend, and the Brazillers had a ballroom upstairs on the second floor of their house, and so they all danced that night. So Joel went to sleep, and there was a knock at the door, and it was Marilyn Monroe, and she said to him, "Would he like to dance with her?" And he danced with her. He got dressed and he danced with her. And his head came up to her breast, because he hadn't had a growth spurt yet. And he said it was the best moment of his entire life.
These are just one of many stories in Joan Nathan's reminiscence new cookbook. There's a lot of recipes in here, many of her favorites. It's called My Life and Recipes. I was surprised in the first chapter, there's 34 chapters, the beginnings there of talking about your dad's memories. The first recipe in the cookbook, Joan, as you well know, is it's an Albert Einstein strawberries with whipped cream. How did that come about?
Well, my father always talked about Albert Einstein. Probably a lot of people did in those days. But my family, which I think it was Albert's mother on his mother's side, and my family had a grocery store together in Buchau, Germany. And as my grandfather moved from Buchau, both sides of my family, to Ulm, Germany, and where my great-grandfather, Alexander Nathan, had a cigar store that Albert Einstein went to whenever he came to Ulm to visit his family. And one day in the 50s, my father was on a overnight train to Atlanta, Georgia, and so in the same compartment was Albert Einstein, and they talked and reminisced about their lives. And, and Albert Einstein told my father about the grocery store. So when I went to the archives in Ulm to find out more about him, the archivist said, "Oh, everybody says every Jew in America thinks they're related to Albert Einstein." And I don't think we're related, but I do think there's a connection. And he said, yes, there was.
Wow.
I went to the Einstein archives in Jerusalem, and they told me that he loved strawberries, which I actually love too, especially this time of year. And so they gave me a recipe that he very often had, and I had to put it in my book.
That's wonderful. John, do you have some questions for Joan or observations?
I have so many things. You know, it's this is a memoir, obviously, of your life and the people that you met, and also how food has changed over the years. And you've certainly been a chronicler of those changes in food. How would you describe, because the food then, the food that you're talking about, it was pretty simple.
Right.
And it's not so simple now.
Well, yeah, it is and it isn't, in a way. I mean, some of the old recipes, because I really chronicled my family recipes and then growing up, you know, and the family recipes that I really wanted to resurrect, like this. There was a sweet and sour, I make it with salmon. And it was a very old family recipe. And it was, you would make it for holidays with ginger snaps. And I added a lot of fresh ginger to it, so that in a way I simplified it. But I also left the ginger snaps in it to make for the flavor, and you know, to go way back. I also cut down on the fat because, you know, things were, people were poorer and they needed the fat just to live. And also, you know, we like to eat differently. And, you know, I took recipes that I liked from every place that I lived and added them, or recipes that meant something to me. Like, there was one recipe that I absolutely love. It's called mukhamar, and it's peppers and walnuts and a little bit of onion and garlic. I put a fresh mint in it, a little bit of pomegranate syrup, and it's a dip, but it's the best dip you'll ever have at a party. People will love it as long as you follow the recipe and don't make it too fine. A lot of times they make it too fine, and you don't get the feeling of really good texture in it.
We'll take a break at that point and be back with Joan Nathan. Joan's new book is My Life and Recipes, Food, Family, and Memories. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO Kitchen. Back after this.
It's your radio buddy Jimmy Failla inviting you to please join me for Fox Across America.
Which loser do I vote for?
Now weekdays, 3 to 6 on Sonoma County's FM News Talk, KSRO.
Country Summer, presented by Bud Light, June 14th, 15th, and 16th at the Sonoma County Fairgrounds, with Friday's lineup headlined by Old Dominion.
She kept the hotel key. Got love, like there's no such thing as a broken heart.
Along with Joni Messina.
Heads Carolina, tails California, somewhere greener, somewhere warmer.
And Cameron Marlowe.
We can't be friends. We can't.
Little Big Town, headline Saturday, and Jordan Davis Sunday on the Chevy Silverado stage. Brought to you by Bud Light, Bay Area Chevy dealers, Redwood Credit Union, Candle Jackson Wines, River Rock Casino, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Sonoma Clean Power, and Jack Daniels. Live freely, drink responsibly. Country Summer's 10th anniversary, June 14th to 16th. Single day tickets and 3 day passes on sale now at countrysummer.com.
Chernoff Cosmetic Surgery in Santa Rosa has been taking excellent care of patients for over 30 years.
There's such a difference between doing things to people and taking good care of patients. And I've been blessed in my practice to be surrounded by people who know the difference.
Dr. Chernoff likes to use the term your natural best when advising patients on what procedures to have.
Our nicest compliment is always to create their aesthetic improvement such that no one ever knows that they've had it done. And that means creating a natural appearance, never a done appearance, never a pulled appearance.
He not only trains doctors and nurses nationwide, but also ensures his staff receives training to the same high standards.
I am proud to be referred to as a pioneer in the field of aesthetics because we have been deeply involved in the research and development of many techniques, both non-surgical and surgical.
Check the specials and services at ChernoffCosmeticSurgery.com.
It's time for the Sonoma Marin Fair in Petaluma, Thursday, June 20th through Sunday the 23rd. Cowabunga!
Your fair ticket includes unlimited carnival rides, thrilling entertainment, and headline concerts.
Thursday, it's party band Wonder Bread 5. Friday, country stars Lanco. Saturday, chart-topping country star Easton Corbin. And Sunday, Fiesta Latina.
Grab a concert pit pass for an enhanced experience for just $25.
The Sonoma Marin Fair in Petaluma.
Discount fair admission tickets are available until June 19th at sonoma-marinfair.org.
In the KSRO Kitchen, I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. Special guest today, Joan Nathan. Her new book, My Life and Recipes, Food, Family, and Memories. John, do you have a recipe and a story that jumped out at you?
Well,
on a reference?
It's a big story. It's a simple recipe, and that's the egg salad with smoked salmon, avocado, and pickled red onions. And you mentioned that your mother passed away shortly after your last book, before this book called King Solomon's Table, and that her comment about the making of a cookbook was to say, enough is enough. Give birth to it already. Can you talk a little bit about her?
My mother was quite a character. It was sort of ironic. My mother and Judith died the same day. My mother was about 10 years older than me.
Really? Oh.
But they really appreciated each other. They both were tough. They both were smart. And they both thought their own mind. And they both were New Yorkers. So, you know, my mother, she was a school teacher and an English teacher. So, she kept thinking I took too long with my cookbooks. But I liked to. Maybe it gave me a raison d'etre, you know.
You know, Joan, you certainly have made a name for yourself with writing just brilliant recipes for so many years. But I was surprised that you actually called one of your recipes Genius Latkes with Chives, which appeared in the New York Times. And you got a lot of reader feedback about that recipe. Would you talk about what made it the center of such a dissension?
Well, first of all, there were about 700,000 people that read that article, I want you to know. But the people that were mostly New Yorkers, because they have the most stubborn, you know, they're very opinionated. And people said, how can you have latkes without onions? There's no latke without onions. How can you do this? How can you do that? And, you know, I just stuck to it because it was, in a way, it's not really a latke. It's more like, I forget what it's called, but it is a latke. But what I do now is, for the book, rather than the article that appeared in the Times, I use a little bit of onion or chive so that there is that onion flavor in it. For the people that were giving me a hard time wouldn't do that anymore. But what it was, you'd roast a potato for about 45 minutes, and not until it shouldn't be soft. Then you get it cold, and then you would sort of mash it and push it together. So you didn't need onion, you didn't need egg, and you'd fry it, and it's delicious, just delicious.
Okay. I'm not convinced, but I believe that many people did embrace that technique of partially baking that potato beforehand. Was that your most contentious recipe that ever appeared in the New York Times?
Maybe. I mean, it was just a few comments. You know, the comments, they're always contentious. I kind of have fun looking at, I always like to look at the comments to see what kind of negativity's there. Maybe it's just the New York Times, but I always find it, but you learn something from comments. I mean, don't you, John, for sure?
I don't pay attention to them. I do pay attention.
You do.
Because it's like, I hadn't thought about that, or maybe next time I'll be sure to include a comment about that or something.
So. Well, there was an interesting, also so many stories here, Joan, about one of the proofreaders of one of your recipes inadvertently gave the incorrect measurements for the amount of oil or water or something, and people were just adamant, banging on your door almost. How dare you?
They called it the Valdive oil spill. It was after 9/11, and they had forgotten to do, the Times had forgotten to do an article for Rosh Hashanah, and I explained to them that I did have two gorgeous challahs coming out of the oven, and I could write something about the meaning of bread, you know, during difficult times, and so I wrote this piece very, very quickly, but I called it in, which is what you did in those days, for a last-minute article. And the person transcribed, because you don't put water in a recipe. You just say, as an ingredient, because you don't have to go out and buy water. I guess that's the Times, the way that they do it. So I didn't, but then I read into it that you use, such, I forget how much, maybe a cup of water, but then maybe 2 cups of oil. And they put 2 cups of oil, yeah, 2 cups of oil rather than a cup of oil. That's right.
Yeah.
And they said that they had the oil still.
You know, there's so many great recipes in here. I know you're a great lover of rhubarb, which I discovered, the number of different references to dishes with rhubarb, which was very exciting. And also that you did the first one of the first culinary tours to the Soviet Union back in 1987. That's a marvelous chapter also. And that you're a big lover of Effie's crackers. Is that true?
Well, of a different kind of Effie. I do like Effie's crackers. But this was like Effie's crackers. And you're not going to believe I found this. This is what's so much fun about going on trips. I went to Lalibela, Ethiopia, and went to a place called Humera in search of a tahina harvest. But in Lalibela, there was a lot of underground churches. There was a very nice restaurant. A woman who was holding a baby kangaroo in her arms and feeding it a bottle of milk. She was a chef, and she had these fabulous crackers that were so much like Effie's crackers. And she's from England, and she said, well, you know, we don't have a lot of ingredients here, so we make these crackers. And I just thought, these were crackers she had from England. She's in God knows where in Ethiopia. Wonderful recipe. It was great fun.
Well, I just wanted to mention it because we don't have enough time to go through the rest of the book. But, John, aren't your favorite crackers Effie's oat crackers?
They are. They are. Yeah. I actually wrote them a letter when they first came out and said, these are the most delicious things. And my favorite way to eat them is with cheese.
Yeah, and we actually, Joan, we ended up having a Joan McIsaac from Effie's as a guest on the show, and she sent John a case of Effie's crackers for his birthday one year. We don't have any more time. I'm sorry. The 30 minutes has just flown by. Joan's new book is My Life and Recipes, Food, Family, and Memories, a magnificent book. And we're expecting another book from you, Joan, especially since your mom lived to 103. You've got time to crank out one more book, okay?
Okay, well, I hope to see you soon.
We'd love for you to come out to the West Coast, and it was a joy talking with you. Thanks so much for this morning.
Thank you.
Take care. Joan Nathan. Back next week, John Ash.
Okay.
And your kids better remember you tomorrow. Well, they're going to hear about it.
I hope so. I haven't heard anything yet. But
Steve Garner, thanks so much for listening, everyone. We'll talk again next week.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, 96.9 in Petaluma, and 94.5 in Sonoma at KSRO.com and on the KSRO app.
It's spring in the North Bay. Let ARS Roofing and Gutters ensure your home stays protected and dry.
ARS is your premier choice for roofing and gutter needs in Sonoma and Marin counties. Under the leadership of President and CEO Letitia Hanke, ARS is not just a roofing expert, it's a community-driven force.
Did you know that Letitia Hanke